Welcome back to another episode of Stranded in the Paint. You know the drill by now. Ethan Morrison alongside Connor Lawrence. Connor, this basketball season just keeps getting crazier and crazier. How are you doing today?
It's been unbelievable. Another week of college basketball, and as you mentioned, it's been crazier than ever.
Yes, it has been. We got a lot in store today here on the podcast, but first, Nick Hederick and I got a chance to sit down with head coach of the Belmont Bruins, Casey Alexander, yesterday on Tuesday. Coach Alexander talked to us about his journey to becoming the head coach of Belmont University, their men's basketball team. He spent some time as an assistant under Rick Byrd for about two decades, especially after his playing career at Belmont was over. Then he got a chance to coach at get a head coaching position at Stetson University in Lipscomb before making his way back to Belmont to take over for the legendary coach there, Rick Byrd. He also discussed his season so far after winning the conference championship the year before, and now his team's success over this past season in this unprecedented season. Let's take a look here. Let's take a listen to the clip right now.
Yeah, we've got some sharp kids in the program. I mean, we've got guys who have already won a couple of championships and earned their way to two different NCAA tournaments, one of which wasn't played, as we've already talked about. But ironically, we don't have any seniors on our team at all, but we do have guys that have been around. And so, you know, we know what we lost last year, and to walk into this season, you know, and very intentionally try to play it without any regrets. Our players have done a fabulous job of just showing up every day and trying to get better no matter what our streak looks like.
And you mentioned there's no seniors, but who in your mind has really stepped up and been a team leader and said, all right, we're going to do the best with the situation that we have presented in front of us here?
Yeah, we've got great leadership really across the board. We have five juniors, and all five of them will graduate in May. So it's not like we don't have experience and maturity and everything else. But, I mean, Grayson Murphy's the heartbeat of our team. He's not our leading scorer, but he's, you know, everybody in our league would say he's the MVP of our team. And he just finds a way to impact every game, every practice. He's just one of those really unusual guys that you rarely ever, if ever, get the chance to coach.
With two games left in the regular season, what are you looking for to improve upon going into the conference tournament as you're looking for your second consecutive conference title and run into the NCAA tournament?
Well, first of all, we've got two tough games. Not just two games, but two tough games. I mean, our game on Thursday, well, this week we play the second and third place team. And so we'll have to play well. Both games are on the road. We'll definitely have to play well to keep this going. But we also have a bigger picture in mind. I mean, if we continue to win, we're going to be we can improve our seeding should we get to the NCAA. We can if we don't win our conference tournament, we can put ourselves in a bubble conversation. So there's a lot to play for, a lot of things that should motivate us to go out.
We want to thank Coach Alexander once again for coming on and talking to Nick and I. But Connor, let's discuss Belmont's season so far. They've won 21 straight. And they've seemed to be on a roll. They've only lost one game, and that was to Stanford early in the year. What do you think about this team right now? I mean, they've been playing very well, but they got two tough matchups coming up against Morehead State and Eastern Kentucky. What do you make of this team, especially going into these later stages of the season?
Well, first and foremost, Belmont has been a force to be reckoned with in the Ohio Valley for quite some time, at least in recent memory here. Ever unpredictable, as I mentioned, too. In the Ohio Valley, as you have Morehead State, Austin Peay, Murray State, season after season, putting up very competitive teams. But for this team right now, with 21 straight wins, it's all about carrying that momentum into the conference tournament and securing that automatic bid that's ever so critical and avoiding any upsets at all.
What do you think down the stretch for this team? Because like Coach Alexander mentioned, they got a tough road ahead of them. They're playing Morehead State on Thursday night, and then they play Eastern Kentucky on Thursday night, and then they play Morehead State on Saturday. It's going to be tough for them, especially to close out this season. There's so many teams that are close and within striking distance to Belmont. It could really go either way, but how do you think this team will fare going into March, especially with how they've been playing? Do you think they're going to kind of fall off, or do you think they're going to ride that momentum that they have right now into March?
Absolutely. As you mentioned, too, you know, Morehead State and Eastern Kentucky sit right below them in the rankings there. But should they make it to the field of 68 in March, they're very capable of putting up an upset against a higher competitive team, let's put it that way. But like I said, it's all about riding up momentum through the conference tournament and the rest of the regular season.
Yes, it is. And I think they're slated right now as a 12 seed, and they would be facing off Wisconsin, according to the bracketology by Joe Lindardi. But right now, we already have a conference tournament starting on our hands tomorrow night, Thursday night at 7 o'clock. The Horizon League men's basketball tournament kicks off with the first round matchups. The first four seeds get a bye, so that would be Cleveland State, who secured the one seed. Wright State right behind them. They had a tie for the regular season championship. Then you have Oakland right behind them, who had a rough start this season. They lost their first, I believe, eight games, and they were able to turn it on in conference play. Then Northern Kentucky slots in at the four seed. So those top four teams get a bye. Then you got the first round slate that kicks off tomorrow night. 7 o'clock on ESPN Plus, you have the number five seed Detroit Mercy going up number 12 Robert Morris. Those two teams just faced off last weekend on Friday and Saturday. So we're going to see round three of that game. Robert Morris dropped both of those. Then we have six-seeded Youngstown State taking on UIC at 8 o'clock on ESPN+. Then also the 7th-seed Green Bay is taking on the 10th-seed Purdue Fort Wayne. That's also at 8 o'clock. And then finally, to wrap up first-round matchups, you got Milwaukee and IUPUI at 8 o'clock on ESPN+. Connor, I'm going to start off my favorite. It has to be Wright State. I mean, they have a very experienced front court with Loudon Love, who's he took home another Horizon League Player of the Year award. He got some more hardwood in that trophy case. And then they got guys like Greg Basile, who's a sophomore, who's very capable of knocking down three-point shots. So they're a very experienced team. I also could put Cleveland State into that mix, but I think this is Wright State's conference tournament to lose.
Absolutely. I got to agree with you on that one, Ethan. Wright State, I think, finally gets it done this season. They're the clear favorite in the Horizon League. But if any of these mid-major tournaments tell us one thing, it's that most of the time, these number one seeds may not survive, going back to that Belmont discussion. My team, perhaps the watch out of this conference, has to be Detroit Mercy. They played teams like Michigan State, Notre Dame, Kent State early on in the season, and competed with them the whole way until the final buzzer. I think that they may be the complete sleeper team out of this whole entire tournament to watch.
Yeah, they've won 10 of their last 12, and it just doesn't seem like they're showing any signs of slowing down. So that's going to be a good tournament to look out for. I think the bracketology has the Horizon League automatic qualifier coming in at, I think, a 15 seed, if I'm not mistaken. So that's definitely a conference tournament to look out for. Also kicking off on Saturday is the American East Conference Tournament. UMBC and Vermont got the byes of their pods. So they have a bye until the second round, which is on Sunday, February 28th. UMBC and Vermont just squared off this past weekend to decide the 1 and 2 seeds. But you have on Saturday, the 6th seed Lewis Lowell and number 7th seed Stony Brook will kick off the action at 1 o'clock. That will be at Hartford. And then the number 4 seed Hartford will take on number 9 Binghamton at 2 o'clock. Number 5 seeded University of Albany versus number 8 seed NJIT will be at 5 o'clock on Saturday. And then on Sunday, you have the number 3 seed UNH versus UMass Lowell, and the Stony Brook, the winner of that game, will face UNH. And then the Hartford-Binghamton winner will face off against UAlbany, and the NJIT winner at 3 o'clock. So, Connor, who's your favorite in this one? You got UMBC and Vermont. These two seem like they're the mainstays at the top of this conference for the past couple of seasons. Who you got to take home the title this year?
I got Vermont just based upon history alone, obviously UMBC winning the recent matchup between the two, taking over that lead spot technically in the conference. However, I think Vermont finally wins again, and beats UMBC and gets their revenge from the last game.
Yeah, this one should also be another conference tournament to look out for. Also, the ASUN, the A-10, and the Ohio Valley will all start on March 3rd, so be on the lookout for those. We just mentioned Belmont and a couple of the other teams, Morehead State and Eastern Kentucky, along with Murray State. Those are some big teams to look out for there. So we'll have more on that next week when those tournaments kick off. We got some more transfer news. We'll start with one that happened last week, and we discussed this a little bit here on the podcast about AJ Brahma. We said he had a bunch of schools looking at him, a lot of good high major and Power Five schools that were trying to get him to come here. He originally said that he was going to make his decision on March 20th, but now a big school. Let's talk about the number one school in the nation right now in college basketball. Gonzaga has reached out to AJ Brahma. He quickly said that he's going to wait to make his decision. What does this mean for college basketball? I mean, we see these guys taking this extra year and just leaving the programs that they're in right now. This is going to be a crazy year for so many different guys. What do you make all this, especially with Brahma getting a phone call from Gonzaga, one of the top teams in the nation?
It's a big decision, and rightfully, to Brahma's credit, I would take all the time in the world if I was putting his shoes right now, especially getting a call from the number one team in the in the NCAA at the moment, and a very dominant force in the past decade alone in college basketball. But wait for a couple more phone calls.
Yeah,
see
I know.
Who else
yeah.
comes through.
Right, definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, what do you think this is going to change the college basketball landscape? And like seeing so many guys, I mean, we're going to talk about Xavier Johnson in a little bit. He also decided to transfer out of Pitt. But do you think players are taking advantage of this extra year and moving on to a bigger and better school that fits them more, fits their mold more?
Absolutely. I think it's completely changing the landscape of college basketball, as we mentioned. You see a lot of the seniors last year not get that opportunity to finally get a championship automatically. I think a Cassius Winston, me being Michigan State guy. But aside from that, guys like AJ Brahma, who have that extra year of eligibility now, take advantage of it.
Oh yeah, I mean it's gonna be interesting to see, because I mean especially with all the players coming in, well, like all the freshmen, all the guys from junior college that these schools are trying to recruit, especially these smaller schools, it's gonna be tough it's gonna be a tough decision for a lot of people, especially these younger guys, because like you have guys that have been here all 4 years, like smaller schools.
Exactly.
Let's just pick Robert Morris for example. Like, you have John Williams, who's been a solidified starter in this lineup for the past 4 years. I'm just going to use them for an example because I like Robin Morris. You have a guy that's solidified his spot in the starting rotation for 4 years. If he chooses to come back, some of these guards and some of these other players that thought, hey, this guy's going to be gone after this year, they're going to still – if they decide to come back, they're going to still get the playing time. I'm not going to get playing time. I'm going to leave. It's going to just – mess up this whole entire college landscape if more and more guys decide to come back for a fifth year.
Completely. It may, influence other guys to say, hey, I want to transfer to this school. It becomes an issue in football as well with the red shirt, eligibility and stuff like that. But being a college basketball show, at least, this added year to these guys' college tenures is really going to put a damper on, like you mentioned, a lot of the guys on the bench.
Oh, yeah, it most definitely will. Well, let's talk about Xavier Johnson. Today he announced that he is transferring out of the program. He will no longer play for the rest of the year for the Pitt Panthers. Johnson, I mean, this was a little bit of a puzzling move in my eyes. He averaged 15.5 points his first year in 2018 in the 2019 season. Then he averaged 11 points, so he kind of took a little bit of a dip his sophomore season. And then in his junior year, he averaged 14 points per game. I was a little puzzled by this move. I didn't know why he would decide to leave, especially as a junior. What did you make of this him transferring out? Do you think there's a problem in the Pitt program, like an internal problem, or do you think this is just a personal move for Johnson to try to find a different fit?
I think predominantly it's just a personal move for Johnson, but it also kind of shows to me, too, the effects of Kevin Stallings had on this program before Jeff Capel entered the building. But to me, on top of this, it shows that, you know, Pitt has taken quite a dip here. I remember talking with you on the show before. This team perhaps could have been in the NCAA tournament a couple months ago at least. But now, you know, they've taken a complete nosedive, and Johnson may just figure that, hey, this program's not going to get anywhere in the future. Let's test my time at somewhere else.
Yeah, Pitt's 9-9 on the year. I mean, they've had some pretty big wins over the past couple of a month ago they had a pretty
Virginia Tech.
That was one of the big ones. So I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes, where he chooses to go. For Pitt, I mean, they've dealt with transfers, guys transferring out of the program. We know Ryan Murphy decided to transfer out. So it's going to be interesting to see what happened there. Now let's go into the top 25. We do this every week. Break down what has gone on, the moves in the top 25, the AP top 25 poll. Top five remains unscathed and untouched. Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, Ohio State, and Illinois. They're all fine. They haven't moved.
Baylor had their scare last night.
Baylor did have their scare last night against Iowa State. I thought this would be a cakewalk for Baylor. Iowa State was kicking the whole time.
As did anyone. And you know, they gave him a game right up till the end. And Baylor just happened to, you know, last couple of minutes just come through. I figured, you know, these top four teams not moving whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe between Michigan and Ohio State they may move. But, you know, the top two, Gonzaga and Baylor, pretty solidified as the top two in the –
Yeah, Michigan and Ohio State matched up Sunday afternoon with Michigan winning that one. That was a really good game.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was a very, very good game. So, Baylor, like we said, survived against Iowa State last night. Kansas took the biggest jump of the week after beating Texas Tech on Saturday. We talked about them before. They were out of the top 25 a couple weeks ago, and we were like, these blue blood teams, they're gone. Does this change the landscape? Well, Kansas is right back in the mix. They moved up six spots now, so that's pretty good for them. What have you made of their past couple of weeks and kind of the resurgence of the season for them?
To me, this has been Kansas basketball for quite some time now, especially in the last few months. They string it together, and they make the tournament in the big rankings. But ultimately, when they get to the round of 68 and beyond, they can't survive that long.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we get a team like...
Hopefully it's different this year.
Hopefully Kansas can go far in the tournament. Also, Virginia, what's happening with them? They take the biggest drop of the week, dropping eight spots. They lost with a loss over Duke. And then tonight, they just lost to North Carolina, NC State, 68-61. And NC State's only 10-9 and 6-8 in ACC conference play. What's happened with Virginia? They've fallen off.
They've completely fallen off, and that win or that loss, excuse me, against Duke really, I think, put them in the hurting, mm-hmm. To say the least. But it was a big win for Duke because now they're back into the bubble, which
right.
We'll get to eventually, I'm sure, too here. But I cannot figure out this Virginia team quite yet.
Yeah, let's kind of quickly touch on Duke here. Yeah, they're kicking. They were able to beat Syracuse on Monday night. I mean, there wasn't as much of the pomp and circumstance about Duke playing Syracuse like a normal year where Duke would be ranked and Syracuse would kind of be on that bubble.
Yeah. Be a threat.
But, you know, now we see a team like Duke. Now we see more of these blue bloods. I mean, we're going to talk about it more with Kentucky, but they blew out Tennessee. We see that team. They're not going to make the tournament, but they're still being able to blow out teams, especially when they're having a down year. What do you think about this Duke team right now? Do they have any chance? I've heard that they have to win their conference championship to win, to have a shot at the tournament. But do you like how this team has been able to keep kicking around and, you know, give teams some games? And even with all the stuff that's gone on with the Duke program over the past couple of weeks, how they're being able to still play competitive basketball?
Absolutely. It shows Coach K's power to, you know, string some wins together with the squad that he has, at least. But as you mentioned, too, Louisville, they play Louisville, Georgia Tech, and UNC to close out the season, meaning likely they're going to have to win their conference tournament to make the NCAA tournament, which could be possible, depending on if the committee, you know, takes into consideration who they play in the ACC tournament. They could be on that real borderline, that real thin borderline, and just slightly get in based upon history alone. But we will see.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting there. Also, Tennessee, yep, they hang on to the final spot at 25 after getting blown out by Kentucky 70-55 on Saturday afternoon. Tennessee, I mean, we've seen them at the highest point of their season where they were, like, top 10, and now we see them kind of drop down after a couple of games here. What do you make of this Tennessee Volunteer team now, especially this late in the season, and they're kind of slowly tapering off? Do you think they can kind of regain that momentum, and especially moving into a tough SEC tournament, kind of make their, they're still a pretty good team, but, like, make their case to solidify their spot in March?
The SEC tournament usually brings out the best in these types of teams like this. Whether or not Tennessee will be able to hang around, you know, with some of the minor competitors you think about that are going to be in it, like an LSU or teams like that, just for instance. But in my opinion, you know, their team like that is built for March. I think, you know, even if they lose in that conference tournament and they still make the NCAA tournament in the end, I think they're very capable still of producing some wins.
Yeah, they should be. Also, they played tonight against Vanderbilt, and I believe the last time I checked, it was a pretty close game. This team, they were in the first, late in the first half, but that game was pretty close. Moving into the games of the week, it is a packed slate to end off the work week, and then going into the weekend, we got number 9 Iowa versus number 3 Michigan tomorrow night, Thursday night, at 7 p.m. on ESPN. These two teams, Michigan's been on a roll over the past couple of weeks, along with Iowa. Connor, who do you have in this game?
Luka Garza has been a real, real force this season for the Iowa Hawkeyes. But Michigan is just playing such good ball right now. I got to go with Michigan and the Wolverines.
Yeah, I think I also have to go with Michigan here. I mean, Iowa will definitely give them a very, very, very good game, but I just feel like the way Michigan has been playing, they've just looked unstoppable, being able to knock off Ohio State on the road as well last week. And I feel like that was a very, very, very big win for them and their program. And especially moving into the month of March now, I feel like they're just going to be battle-tested and they're going to be ready for this game against Iowa. Also, on Thursday at 9 o'clock, and then they also play again on Saturday at 4 o'clock, Boise State will take on number 22, San Diego State. Boise State, they've been having a very good season so far. One of the teams that are not talked about as much. They've been playing very well. They're 18-4 overall. They've been able to beat teams like BYU, and they've lost by 10 to a team, Houston, who's ranked now. So what do you make of this matchup? We know San Diego, this is the biggest matchup of the year. This decides first place in the Mountain West Conference, especially going into the conference tournament, where we know, I think, we're going to see these two teams face off once again. What do you make of this matchup, especially it being a two-game series Thursday and Saturday?
Boise State has been one of the most underappreciated, I think, this whole entire year in the realm of college basketball. They're playing a team like San Diego State, who was obviously, you know, a powerhouse last year and years before as well. But they're completely dominating that Mountain West. Mm-hmm. I got to go with them in this one, both of them.
I think this is going to be a split, and then they're gonna meet again in the conference tournament, hopefully in the finals. And
be very interesting.
It's gonna be a very interesting final matchup, especially a very interesting conference tournament with these two teams. But moving on. Number 14, Texas, is taking on number 18, Texas Tech. Texas Tech suffered a loss at the hands of Kansas last Saturday. Texas, they lost to West Virginia, I believe. West Virginia played them, correct?
I believe so,
I think
yeah.
so, yeah. and West Virginia was able to come out on top on the road. What do you make of this matchup? I mean, these two teams, they suffered losses over the past weekend against some pretty good competition. I'm gonna have to go with Texas Tech in this one. Matt McClung has been very well, has done very well for this team over the course of the year. I think that will just be a matchup that Texas cannot will not be able to control.
I don't know. I'm going to go with the opposite of you. I think I'm going to go with Texas in this one, even though they've been letting their opponents hang around there in games a little bit longer. However, I just think that Texas Tech at the moment has just been dropping. I just got to go with Texas in this.
All righty. Next, number two, Baylor. We mentioned earlier that they had that scare against Iowa State, who hasn't won a conference game yet in the Big 12 this season. They take on number 17, Kansas, at 8 o'clock on Saturday on ESPN. I'm going to still have to go with Baylor here. I just feel like they just got back from, I think, 2 weeks of a COVID pause. So I think they were just starting to get their feet back under them. I think that was just a game where they're just like, okay, let's just get through this one and on to the next one. I still think Baylor's the more dominant team here over Kansas.
Baylor is completely the most dominant team right now, in my opinion, in the Big 12. However, you know, entering the fog, this is like written up for Kansas right now to win this game. All eyes been pointing to it. You know, they've strung some wins together, but Baylor is just too good at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think the same way. I mean, like I said, with a lot of these other games, they're going to give them – they're going to be all very, very, very tight games, but I just feel like the experience with Baylor and the way that they've been playing over the course of the year, I think they have the upper hand here. Iowa makes another appearance on Sunday at 4 o'clock on CBS. They take on number 4, Ohio State. Ohio State did lose to Michigan over the past weekend. Who do you have in this one? I mean, this is going to be a very, very, very interesting matchup, especially Iowa coming off a game against number 3 Michigan on Thursday night and getting a pretty quick turnaround on Sunday.
Absolutely. I mean, they draw the two of the top teams in college basketball right now, and they have to be in the Big Ten on top of that. So, I don't know. I'm going to go with the Iowa in this one. And
Iowa.
I don't know why.
Even on the road
against Ohio State, I'm going to throw in a wild card. I'm going to go with Luka Garza and the Hawkeyes.
I like that. I think I'm going to go with Iowa as well. I mean, I just feel like after Thursday's game against Michigan,
it may prepare them a little bit more.
Yeah, it's going to prepare them to go against Ohio State. So I feel like they're going to be pretty confident going into the game against Ohio State on Sunday. Well, that will do it for this week's episode of Stranded in the Paint. More conference tournaments start up next week. We're going to have that all for you on next week's episode. For Connor Lawrence and Ethan Morrison, we want to thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.